Gene, I'll ask you again, my friend. Are you okay to do this? Took another beating yesterday.
Yeah, I'll be all right. I'm sorry about my throat, and I can't speak too fast. There's a big hole in my tongue
Right, okay.
from
Shit.
last night. But
We're
other than that,
live. We're live, pal.
oh, lovely. Hello,
Welcome
people.
to the latest episode of Wrestling with Jonas, episode 279. And we are live across Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch. And I've got an awesome guest, one of the standout performers on the UK scene in 2022 and 2023. He's that damn dirty dog. He's the G Money champion of the G Money Championship of G Money. There he is, G Money. Gene,
Hello, Jonas.
welcome to
How
the
are
show.
we doing?
We are all good. We are all good. But straight out of the gate, obviously, I didn't realize that we were live there. I'm showing concern for my friend. I'm showing concern for G Money. Last night in the Electric Ballroom, chapter 148, you and Spike for the Progress World title. Well, it wasn't really you and Spike for the Progress World title because you were ambushed straight out of the gate, straight out of the curtain. Bullets, Spike, several steel chair shots. You were thrown down the steps. You were power bombed into the edge of the ring apron. You were beaten mercilessly. You made a comeback. You did kind of have people second guessing and thinking that this is Gene's time, but that bullet was there, and Spike with his tactics. I got to know how you're feeling today. You look a bit beat up.
Yeah, I feel a bit beat up. Like, as someone who usually doesn't shut his mouth, I've been quite quiet today. Again, holding my tongue. Yeah, that I picked up last night. That steel chair, I saw it backstage after the match, and it's very crooked. Like, yeah, everything hurts right now, and there's only so much ibuprofen can do.
Yeah.
Annoyed more than anything, because like, I don't know. It's my third Progress main event in front of a crowd, and none of them have really gone my way. Like, I had Gresham, and that was nice, but like, that's not the finisher. It's not the ending I would have wanted for my Super Strong Style journey.
Yeah.
I had the Thunder Bastard match, which also ended with me getting dropped on my head and Spike pinning me, and now the Progress Championship match against Spike. And yeah, I mean, I don't need to say much about it in regards to what happened. What happened? What is what happened? I got the shit kicked out of me, and I did my best, and I got the shit kicked out of me.
Yeah,
That's yesterday.
yeah,
Today's
but
another
also
day.
their tactics, Gene. Their tactics are, like I say, you almost outsmarted Spike in order to get the title shot handed to
Yeah.
you, and it's almost as if they didn't like them tactics, that you kind of got one up on them.
Well,
And Spike
of course
certainly made that scene in the ring last night. He wasn't happy.
they don't. No, of course they don't like them tactics. I've said before, I don't, in the concept of all wrestling stories, I don't deserve to be in the number one contendership opportunity. Excluding last night, I lost my last three matches. Chigahiro, Cardona, and that god-awful 12-man in Manchester. And then I didn't get booked for 3 months. Like, last night was my first time back wrestling at Progress in about 3.5, almost 4 months. And I got dropped to announcing duty, real championship material, mate. I've just got to that stage in my life and career now where I'm just thinking, well, why not dick about and see if we can get what we want? Because I
Yeah.
don't really care for traditional, you know, what's supposed to happen in wrestling and the narrative of wrestling. And maybe a young, fiery underdog like Gene Money needs a big build before he gets to the main event. But nah, sod wrestling logic. I'm not going to let something like wrestling get in the way of me winning a wrestling championship anymore.
Yeah, 100%. And for those of you watching at home, watching us live on YouTube, Twitch, Facebook Live, you can get in touch with the show. As always, get in touch, send us your questions for that damn dirty dog, and we do our very best to read them out live on air. Just send them through to us using your chosen device. They'll ping through to us, and we'll bring them up on screen. And of course, just a polite reminder before we continue with Gene. Next week, I've actually got Tom Dawkins, Cara Noir, coming on the
Oh, there
show
he is.
live on Wrestling with Jonas. Now, speaking of Tom, he did come out after that main event
He did.
Now, I've got a picture to bring up here, and I don't want it to bring back too many
memories. There he is. There we go. Oh, you know, look at that handsome boy with the blood dripping down his face.
You to the ropes, Gene. They change you to the ropes, just as they did with Cara Noir, Tom Dawkins, before Super Strong Style, during Super Strong Style. That seemed to be one of his go-to tactics last year. He did the same to yourself, but Tom did come down. Now, I suppose you're grateful that he did, because it could have been dreadful consequences. Anything you'd like to say to Tom?
I said to Tom what I needed to say to Tom last night, and it's just, I do appreciate the fact that Tom came down to help me, but it would have been much nicer maybe, you know, 15, 20 minutes earlier when I was getting the shit kicked out of me. Before the match had even started. But, you know, I do appreciate it. I'm sure, I don't know if it was PTSD or trauma, they seen them change and he wanted to come back down, whatever it is. I appreciate it, because I don't think I'd be talking to you tonight otherwise, Jonas.
Yeah, yeah, quite right. And Adam Wright's been in touch, watching us live via YouTube. Fuck Spike, the Tory coward.
That's fair.
There we go. That's Adam's words. But to you,
like, has Spike won a match without any sort of shenanigan? Has he won a match clean since beating Cara? And I mean, he only beat Cara by threatening his wife. It's the only reason I didn't bring, well, his partner, sorry. It's the only reason I didn't bring my wife yesterday.
Yeah, I can't think of a single occasion where he's done the right thing and actually won a wrestling match. And like I say, ever since he's got Bullet by his side, especially, you know, Bullet's got a lot to answer for as well. But where do we go from here then, Gene? What's next for Gene Money? Certainly in progress, in a progress ring. What's kind of your focus? Obviously, you're still recovering physically and mentally from what happened yesterday. But where's your mind at, and where does Gene Money go from here?
I don't know. I'm angry right now, to be honest. Like, and I don't know what is next for me, but I've had a taste of that main event, and I've had a taste of that championship picture. And after last night, you know, everyone saw me get a 3 count on Spike Trevet, whether it was actually legal or not, don't matter. Like, I know I can be there, and so I have no intention of leaving. So whatever's next for me is whatever's next for me. And yeah, I'm going to go kicking and screaming if it's anywhere in the top position, I think.
Absolutely. Well, let's talk about this. G-Money's Daft
Lad Emporium, March the 7th,
the Dome in Tufnell Park, 7 p.m. kickoff. Not the usual day of the week, a Tuesday night, but like I say, these shows always draw very well, especially at the Dome. This is your baby. This is your creation. Tell us a bit about it and what might we expect, because, and before you answer that, we did actually see this tweet that came out earlier. Sent my mate the outline of my plans for G-Money's Daft Lad Emporium. Can't wait. Get excited the 7th of March. So, Gene, tell us a bit about this. And what do you think we could expect on March the 7th?
So, I can't say too much because I want people to walk into this wonderland as ill-prepared. But I came up with the concept for Gene Money's Daft Lad Emporium, like, just before the pandemic. So wrestling was going through, like, the tail end of its big boom, kind of going through that maturity, stagnation style of the big boom. And I thought, let's do something really thick. Let's do something really, you know. I'd originally, like, planned to do a drive-in theatre. And it was going to be this big, wild event where, you know, I was going to announce names and matches, but I don't think anyone was going to expect what they were going to see when they got there. So I dropped a message to Progress, I think November, December, and I was like, hey, I don't know if you're interested in this, but I've got something really thick you might want to see. And I sent them like this outline of a show that I wanted to happen. And I was like, we can change some talents and things like that, but what do you say? And it really, really surprised me that they said yes, because they've never done anything like this before. And I can say that from the bottom of my heart. I'm not lying or anything like that to you. Progress Wrestling has never run a show like this before. And it doesn't mean that I'm any less terrified because of that. They've taken faith in this, and I have something to live up to now.
Absolutely. And we had a question that came through before we went live from
Yeah.
Anthony Clements, a friend of the show and a fan of yours. How daft is the G Money Daft Lad Emporium show going to be in March? So on a scale of zero to daft, how daft is it going to be?
It's going to be
I know
very
you can't
daft.
Give anything away.
I can't give too much away. I want to. I really want to. This is why the show's called a show about a wrestling show, because it's I can't really give more away than that. Actually, it's going to be very daft in the whole concept of everything, but it's also going to be the most beautiful creation. Like, one day I will have a child and I will look at that child and say, you are my second greatest creation, because Gene Money's Daft Lad Emporium is happening on March the 7th.
Absolutely. It's going to be unlike any wrestling show you've ever been to, Ashley.
Get
your tickets now. Get your tickets now. And I believe tickets are available. I think if you go to progresswrestling.com/tickets, and it will transport you to Dice FM, and you can get your ticket or tickets today. I think that's right. I do the hype show. I should know the link. Go to the website, progresswrestling.com. Did you realise that it was a year to the day exactly that chapter 127, the very first show back for Progress Wrestling in front of fans in the ballroom? What that happened, the 23rd of January, 2022, and you were the first person through that curtain. And I'm going to look at this guy here. Look at this
there
guy
he
here, Spaceman Money, or however you were. But that must have been a bit of a thrill. And like I say, to get that reception that you would have got as the first person through that curtain, a long time in coming for the fans of Progress in the ballroom after however many months without seeing it in the flesh. Obviously, we had the Peckham era, and we'll talk a bit about that later on. But coming through that curtain, a year to the day when you came out in that costume, Gene.
Yeah, it's wild. Like, I didn't realize that I opened a show a year ago, and then 365 days later, I'm closing a show for the World Championship. Like, that's pretty wild. It was emotional. Like, it was a lot of trust for Progress to say, okay, we're starting new, we're starting big, and we're starting with you. So that was quite a bit of an honor. I still chuckle a bit about it, because they had that big space kind of package that they put out about Progress is returning and all things like that. And then I come out in the spacesuit, and I don't think anybody had remembered the package at all. And everyone was just like, yeah, that's just Gene Money in a spacesuit. It's probably something he'd do, I guess. So it's so many people at the merch desk going like, why are you a spaceman now? It's cool, but why? And I'm like, well, as long as I got away with it, that's fine. But no, it was a real nice moment. I'm glad I was wearing that helmet, because it was like the first big crowd back. Like, I've been wrestling back since the pandemic, since I think like July, August, maybe. We wrapped up the Peckham tapings in August. Which ended with me. So that was quite nice as well.
Great way to kick off.
And it was like, I'm glad I was wearing that helmet, because there was a tear rolling down my eye. I'm not gonna kid, I don't lie. It was a big emotional moment for like, yeah, we're flogging back, let's do this, wrestling's back. And it's been a tough year, but I mean, just look at it yesterday. We're building.
Yeah, that show was from top to bottom awesome. And I told the guys afterwards that easily one of the best shows I've been to all year. And definitely. Well, we have had a question come through about your entrance. And it's from Russell, RussellMania00 via Twitter. How did you come up with his great entrance? Now, we've seen you come out of a dog kennel. We've seen you come out as an astronaut. But the entrance as a whole, and I've got to be honest with you, straight out of the bat, I love your entrance music. I love the new one. I love the old one as well. This kind of like cheesy 70s cop sort of vibe with, reminded me of, I don't know, some of them old classic 70s cop shows with a saxophone and everything like that. The entrance to dive through the ropes, give us a little bit of insight into how that package came together.
So I got mad lucky with my entrance music. So I like used to come out to Bake Street by Jerry Rafferty, but just the intro and the sax loop, and it's still, in my opinion, some of the best music ever. And I wish I could use it everywhere. But when it came to MPS back in 2019, when it was me in the first round, they were like, "What music do you want?" I said, "Look, I use Baker Street. You got anything like it?" And they just gave me that brilliant saxophone music. So I got dead lucky with that. It fit real nicely. But then, like, I use Baker Street in some places. I use that one in some places. People are like, "Oh, we need you to use one of our music." So I was just like, "Nah, sack it." So I got in touch with Hot Tag, great music producers, and they created my Good Boy Blues music, which I really like. I said, "Look, give me the sexy sax of like a Baker Street. And give me like the dirtiest rock of a Royal Blood, and like just bang it together." And I doubted it was going to work when I pitched it, but I'm kind of happy with how it sounds. I think it'll be available soon on Spotify, maybe. I don't know. But the dive into the ring with a splash, that comes from a main event I had at Good Wrestling. So it was me and Mike Bird, and well, Good didn't have a championship belt. And so, me being the egotistical little fart that I was back then, I came out with a G-Money Certificate of Excellence, which has kind of preluded the G-Money Championship of G-Money. It's a belt onto myself. But this was the de facto, championship of Good. And I wrestled Mike Bird defending it. And we went out there for a main event. And instead of doing what we're told, we did Rock Austin from WrestleMania X7 beat for beat. And it comes to the bit where they were fighting on the outside, but the ref was giving me all the stick to get back in the ring. And I don't know why I was just so annoyed about it, but I just launched myself into the ring and then rolled back out as I would with my entrance. So I do the slingshot spear, great, wonderful. I know how to do that technique into the ring, whatever. But I just planted it into the ring and it got such a reaction for how stupid it was. I listened to that and I was just like, yeah, we're doing that every night. We are doing that every night, so I incorporate it into my entrance. But like, it's the same with Good Wrestling. It was me, Chris Brooks, and Millie McKenzie versus Bird Boar and Grizzly in a six-man tag at Good. And for some reason, I taped up my nipples, and there was no reason why other than it looked stupid. And I've never not done it since.
I was going to
But
ask you about that. That's
yeah, like
incredible.
Good
It's just these
Wrestling
little
was.
things, isn't it? It just comes to you. It just comes
Good
to you.
Wrestling was that opportunity for me to just really cock about at a professional level. And I really got to find out who I am, working with people like Chris Brooks, working with Lycos, working with people like Mike Bird, Speedball Mike Bailey, Mambo, Beano, like loads of names, Eddie Dennis. Like, I got to wrestle some really great names there and really find out how much of a fuck about I could be as a performer. And like, Good Wrestling, banging. It's a shame they're never gonna run the Crawford Arms again, because like I'm the champ at the moment, the actual champ this time. But yeah, they won this for me. That's where the entrance comes from.
There we go. Absolutely love it. And I think one of the most captivating stories of last year, certainly for yourself, certainly with progress, and it was a 2.5 year journey. Gene for Super Strong
That really
Style,
is.
and there he
Look at them
is.
purple velvet trousers.
Oh man, he's a sexy boy, isn't he? But tell us about that journey, because am I right in thinking that it started, or it would have started, 2020? Obviously, everything shut down. 2021, you obviously had the Peckham era. Going
Yeah.
into 2022, that first show, you did your promo, your announcement, Gene for Super Strong Style. But it's a 2.5 year journey, and like I say, you had hurdles along the way. Jonathan Gresham, Kid Lykos 2. All the obstacles, all the hurdles, but you made your way into Super Strong Style. But that story and that hashtag, it was pretty powerful. And I think a lot of people remember that very fondly from last year.
Yeah, so like I started. So I'd obviously did Gene for MPS 6. That's where it all started. I made myself like a little music, like a little MV of like, there's some shit I do. I saw like MPS got announced at Progress. And I was like, I have nothing to lose by hashtagging this. And like, I think because wrestling was like dead serious back then, there weren't many people like me cocking about. So for some reason, people bit on. Some people bought it and were like, yeah, Gene for MPS, screw it, let's do it. And Progress heard about it. And yeah, we went well. I really milked the shit out of that. Like, I did photo shoots as every single person in that tournament. As Cara Noir, Dan Maloney, Wyatt Muller, OJMO, Danny Duggan, like all of them. It was I really milked it. Like, Progress ended up asking me to do a pre-show before I'd even made my debut or anything like that, like on their Twitter. And it was wild. Like, they all thanked me for how much I promoted it, and I thought, well, this worked. And so when they announced Super Strong Style, I think like November 2019, I'd not had any return bookings for Progress by that point, so I was like, I have nothing to lose right now. So I tweeted it, and people got behind it. And then all of a sudden, like, it's February 2020. Nobody really knows what COVID is yet. I'm out there in Cardiff handing out flags, looking like I'm about to get into a big feud with Eddie Dennis. And then the world closed down. It
Yeah.
was supposed to be me versus Mark Andrews, 23rd of March, 2020, but it never
Yeah.
happened. And obviously,
Yeah.
Becamira, like, it was, oof, what, 11 months since
Yeah.
then, and that. Like, I was waiting for it. Like, they announced that Strong Style was moving to summer at Ali Pali. Didn't happen, obviously. And then obviously everything changed. And then yeah, Pacamira
That's it.
started January 2021. God, it seems like
Yeah.
a lifetime ago now. And
Absolutely.
it was I came out with the flag a few times, but I'll be honest, I had no idea if a Super Strong Style thing was going to happen. We didn't know how long COVID was going to be. And it was just, I was worried that if I was waving that flag, I'd be celebrating something that might not be.
Exactly.
Ye of little faith, or, but it was, whatever. It was what it was. And I had a great time at the Becamira, don't get me wrong. But coming back out with that massive flag, yeah, like, it was weird. And t my first loss at Progress in 2022 was the semi-finals of Super Strong Style. A bit like us. Where's my thumb? Sorry, the screen's mirroring. There we go. A bit like us. I beat Bronco Brandon White. I beat Adam Maxted. Maxted's great. Where is Maxted? He needs to be over here more.
Agreed.
I beat like us too. I beat Gresham. I'm going to say it again. I am the only British wrestler since Nigel McGuinness to get a victory over the Ring of Honor World Champion.
Yeah.
Doesn't make sense, but it's a fact. Then beat Lycos after that match. Look at me, two matches one night.
Exactly.
And then Ricky Shane Page, first round. Malik, second
Malik.
round. Lost to Ridgeway, third round. So I was 8-0. Oh, there he is. Look at me again. An absolute turkey jowl slapped off me. Christ on a
Mate,
bike.
but let's talk about Strong Style because I mean Ridgeway was just in a zone of his own during
Yeah,
those three
Ridgeway deserves
days,
to win that. No doubt about it.
yeah, and he did like I say, and yourself in the semi-final, Warren Banks in the final. He just destroyed the
He's a
competition.
bulldozer.
He made that tournament his own last year. Did you get pretty banged up in one of the earlier rounds? Is that why you was maybe not quite 100% when you faced Ridgeway?
Yeah, but I mean, like, I think even if I was 100%, Ridgeway's a different machine. Like, as much as I have faith in myself, Ridgeway is a fucking monster. And,
Yeah.
anyone can get lucky on any one day and whatever. We've all seen wrestling. I could get a win out of nowhere, perhaps. I've beaten bigger lads. But the night before when I wrestled Malik, the cameras didn't pick it up. But there is a fantastic moment of me looking at my hand. Oh, is this hand movement? And it was up here. It was
Right.
like someone had like put an egg under my skin. And I just pointed to the camera and just said, "The fuck is that?" I had no idea how I'd done it, but I'd broken my knuckle in two places.
No.
And so, yeah, what did Chris Ridgeway do the next night? He stomped on that hand. God bless him.
Oh, yeah.
So I was very banged up, but I had a bad knee. Like, Ricky Shane Page and his Swanton bomb on me, and I put my knees up, and he's a heavy boy, and
Oh,
my knees
yeah.
are getting older.
Yeah, you're
So
going to
yeah,
feel
I
that.
was banged up all weekend. But I
Yeah.
mean, I wasn't the only one. Like, look at the final. Chris Ridgeway going for Warren Banks for the Progress Wrestling World Championship. We didn't see Warren Banks for a long time after that match.
No. No. And I interviewed Warren just a few weeks after that. And I think it took its physical and mental toll on Warren.
Yeah,
and,
gotcha.
It took him a while. And I think that sort of tournament, that sort of ferocity from an individual like Ridgeway, and you sampled that in the semi-final, is going to have its effect on an individual. And like I say, this is yourself helping Warren to his feet, embracing the losing finalist after that. Obviously, we're a few months away from Super Strong Style this year. Is it something that you might want to go at again? Obviously, you had the experience of last year. Surely, going into it again the following year, you'll be a little bit wiser, maybe a little bit more prepared. What do you think if you were to maybe dust off that hashtag one more time, Gene?
You know what? It's four paydays in 3 days. That's the way I see it. I would like it. The title, I have no idea if the title will be on the line this time because, you know, I'm sure unless a champion's getting dethroned the month before, I don't think that'll be the case. Yeah, would I want to be in there? Of course I would, because I think now with, like, the network deal expiring, I don't know what's happening, but I'm sure there's words in the air that it means we can work with different names and, like, big names from elsewhere and whatever. And I think that tournament is going to be absolutely crammed full this year. I've got no information like providing this. This is just all purely G Money speculation. But I think it's going to be a really, really good lineup this year. And if I get to be a part of that, oh, fantastic. But if I don't go all the way this year, then what am I doing?
Yeah, but I'm sure G-Money fans out there will be urging you to be part of that tournament. Hopefully, you won't have to go through so many hurdles just to get there this time.
It was weird. I'm still grumpy about it in a sense. I had, before going into that tournament, I was, 5-6-0?
Yeah.
And I was petitioning for it for 2.5 years, and yet Crowley made a tweet and got put into that tournament. And I still want to beat up Crowley because of that.
Absolutely. I'd like to see that. But as I mentioned earlier, today marks exactly 1 year since fans came back to the Electric Ballroom, Chapter 127. You kicked off that, as we said, with your wonderful spaceman costume, your astronaut.
Yeah.
But the previous year, you were part of the very last Pekka-Mira show in this main event. Your first world championship bite of the cherry against then-champion Cara Noir. I've got to say, I was already a fan of yours before that match, but I think that the promo you cut with just the spotlight, the chair, you in the ring, it was a different type of G-Money that we saw cut that promo. It was a very serious, heartfelt G-Money and very serious, heartfelt promo that kind of led us brilliantly into that main event match. And I think that definitely put you on the map as far as I'm concerned, and many others. You've been on the scene for many years, but that was the moment where I felt G-Money kind of got to that next level. But tell us a bit about that whole build and your match with Cara Noir. I watched it back in preparation for this. It still stands up. It's a tremendous match. And like I say, the whole build up to that is very, very memorable.
So the build up to that, I knew that there was only... I knew after I won that number one contenders match, there was only one, like, Peckham show left. Like, that was it. Like, there was no more opportunities until whenever he returned. And although that aired in the November, that was recorded back in the August. So I said, well, let's actually get some build for this then. Like, this hasn't been a long build, much like my match with Spike. It's not been, you know, months in the making or anything. This is, I am a number one contender and I want this match to be as hyped as possible because it actually means something to me. And I think people get desensitized a lot. Like, fans in wrestling get desensitized a lot to how much these opportunities can mean. So I actually did properly speak from the heart about that. And I think there is such a value in honesty in professional wrestling, because I think a lot of people think they know what professional wrestling is, and that's absolutely fair. But if you can just say, actually, no, like, no one was addressing, because we weren't allowed to really, well, it's not that we weren't allowed, but it was stupid too, but like, where were the crowds? the people who got me to MPS, the people who backed me for G for Super Strong Style, where were they? This was the biggest opportunity in my career, and nobody could be there. And it is gutting as a performer who, you know, I feast on the audience. When I think about, I am doing it for them, and their reaction just spur me on. I don't think I'd be in the position I am without people like them. And I'm not saying I'm high up or anything like that. Don't be daft. But to the little place I've gotten in my career, that's thanks to them, or to blame on them. It depends on which way you look at it. So that was what that promo was. It wasn't really, you know, wasn't.
This Sunday at the Superdome, it's me and you, Cara Noir.
It's, you know, it was real. It wasn't wrestling panto bullshit. It was, I'm doing this, and it sucks that it's not in the right situation, but I'm doing it. And I think it resonated with a lot of people. Like, I saw it get shared across the internet quite a bit, and it was like, it was really nice to see, because,
It showed that you did have a serious side to you, and I think
I
that
do.
Kind of...
I'm a human being, I have feelings.
Yeah, absolutely. And so tell us a bit about that match, because I don't know whether you'd faced Tom or Cara previously. I don't think you faced him since. That match was pretty special. And I've spoken to many Progress talent that wrestled during the Peckham era, and they said that there was something different about wrestling in that venue with no fans, just the announcers, the cameramen, you two in the ring. But the action was always good in the Peckham era, and that match I think was one of the best matches from that 10 or 11 months. Yeah,
thank you. So, like, yeah, I've wrestled, like, me and Cara, we go back a long way. We go back to the London School of Lucha Libre together, where we used to train. Great school, what it was back then, under the arches in Bethnal Green. People coming out that, like, Nina Samuels, Will Ospreay, Tom, obviously Cara, Misen, like. I'm kind of the worst of a good bunch there, but still. You know, I guess got Callum Newman now coming up, and, you know, I think he started there too. So I'd worked with Cara a few times, worked at Lucha Britannia together. I can't remember where we else we have, but I'm sure we have. I'm sure I wrestled Black Belt Tom Dawkins at some point in my career. But getting in there with Cara, I think that was our first time in there together. It was good. And there was that whole mentality and insecurity in me, which I think it exists in a lot of people, of, like, you know, I think wrestling gatekeeps a lot of people like me into certain positions. Oh, you're the funny one. Oh, you're the comedy one. Let's keep you at the main event. So we had the whole kind of running story, which I believe was real, of, I deserve to be here because I genuinely believe I do. And fuck anyone who thinks otherwise. I'm going to have that faith in myself for once. So we told that story. I think it was really nice. And to say Cara Noir doesn't speak, he spoke to me after that match in the middle of the ring. You can see us having a little bit of a chat together. And he said some lovely things to me. But to ruin all of that, by telling you the truth, I shat myself 36 seconds into that match. I didn't know I had food poisoning until I took a kick. And I was like, oh, dear. I had another 20 minutes with that. It's disgusting. But, to take all of the mood out of that situation, I did a bad one.
Well, this is exactly the reason why you wear them big boy pants, Gene, just to keep any accidents from escaping, I suppose.
Did not know I had food poisoning, and then I found out I had food poisoning very quickly.
But the action was intense. You wouldn't have known it, but looks like congratulations.
I'm a professional.
Of course you are. Stepping away from that, and we spoke about your promo with just a spotlight yourself sitting in the ring, very heartfelt G Money. But let's talk about the less serious side.
That was one take.
Absolutely.
There are cuts in that, but that's just because I spoke for a bit too long. They said to us, like, just sit in the ring, and we will take. We'll take whatever beats we want and we'll turn it into a package. And they didn't, they just played it full.
Yeah, and like I say, people are used to you being the daft lad and doing the funny promos, but that really demonstrated that you had a whole other side. But I want to talk a bit about some of your more amusing promos, because I've seen you do a promo coming down a water slide. I've seen you do a promo in your big boy pants running down Camden High Street. I've seen you do a promo in your Ring doorbell. And more recently, I've seen you do a promo next to a llama. I mean,
Alpaca.
well, have you got a name for him? Is it Fred or
He was
something?
Charlie. He was Charlie.
What a
Yeah, he was a
handsome
good. He
dude.
was a. He was a mentally handicapped alpaca, bless him. But he
Oh.
was a good lad.
Absolutely, absolutely. But and so you have an interesting imagination for doing your promos, and I love the Ring doorbell one and the one going down a water slide. Where do you get the inspiration for some of these? I mean,
Laziness, pure laziness, Jared, if I'm honest. If I see there are some amazing promos out here these days with full production and things like that. I mentioned it before, but Charles Crowley makes some incredible content. Let's not mess about. That boy is making like cinema grade promotional videos, and I watch them and I go, nah, not for me. So I see a lot of like in promos for me from wrestlers either come in two forms, really good or really not good. And I like the really not good ones. I hate a promo anytime I see recorded in someone's car, just sat with their phone. And I thought, well, I'm not trying to do a parody of that, but I want to do promos in one take because it used to take me maybe 2 hours. Like if a promoter comes up to me and says, Gene, can you get us a promo video to promote your match? I'm like, yeah, sure, absolutely. And then I'll overthink it and I'll re-edit it. And I'll be like, and I'll put money where your mouth is. And I'll go, oh, I said my mouth. That's not how we say the word mouth. I'll reset it all minute after minute after minute. It took me ages. So one day I just went out with my dog and I went, we are doing this in one take. And if I don't get it, that's the best one it's getting. So now, yeah, I'll just do a one take out with a dog. I do a one take in front of the doorbell. I'll do one take with an alpaca. I'll do one take on a water slide. Did not know my phone wasn't waterproof until that day.
I did
Wild
wonder
times,
about
gotta
that.
tell you. Had to like dry out my SIM card and everything like that. What a great time. But there's a lot more coming. I've had a few more thoughts of how I can really parody a lazy promo. And they're going to get lazier, frankly. I'm sad that I still don't have my Game Boy camera because I think that would have been a fantastic promo. But yeah, like it's because they can be really good. They can be fantastic promos if they want to be. But I think there's a certain realism of living your everyday life. And cutting a wrestling promo. It's, yeah.
We've had some questions come through. Let's read some of them out. Let's have a quick look. We got Liam watching us via YouTube. Hey, Gene, I first saw you in the ring a few years back at an Attack show. Been a
Ooh.
big fan since. Your ace man with Attack now back after their hiatus. Could we expect to see you at an Attack show soon? So I was a big Attack fan. Started following them from about 2013, 2014. And I know that looks like you've had a few matches in an Attack ring. Now that they're back, any thoughts or vibes about Attack wrestling?
I mean, I would absolutely love to. It was fantastic to see it come back. I saw the reveal online of Mandrews with his jumper and then, rolling out the canvas. It looks fantastic. Of course, I'd love to be back. Attack was a fantastic promotion. I think I only had three matches with Attack, and then I had the promo as the detective, which obviously couldn't work after that because we had a pandemic. And so the detective moved on to Shard, Modern Nomad. Where I love to be a gimmick. And so I'd love to be back at Attack. I had great memories of Attack. I remember going just going to help build a ring at a show in Bristol, one of the Halloween shows. And they said to me, Gene, do you have your gear? And I said, no, but I've got costumes. And I had a really horrible mustache at the time, and I wrestled as Ned Flanders. Against a Dracula Chuck Mambo. That was fun. That was real fun, actually.
There has to be pictures. There has to be pictures.
Yeah, but then
or
I
maybe
had
video
stuff.
footage.
There is. I look like a serial killer as Ned Flanders. But I had to start throwing left punches because he's left-handed. Method acting. I had a great one at Walkabout in Cardiff where I actually got bust open, got a nice big scar there. I had blood just pouring down my face. But then did a spot where I was actually wearing seven pairs of trunks. And it was just pulling down and pulling down. So there was a lot of comedy really contrasting with how much blood was pouring down my face. Would I love to be back at Attack? Absolutely. Who wouldn't? It's a fantastic promotion to work for. Will I be? Well, I mean, that's not for me to decide. I wish it was, and, you know, fingers crossed.
Absolutely. And Ashley Clements, he sent in a question earlier. He's watching this live via Facebook. Ashley says, you had a match with Carr at the last Pro Wrestling
God, I did. And the first class show. I booked those shows. Surely I'd remember that. But no, yeah, I had the first ever main event at Pro Wrestling Clash, a wonderful promotion in Boreham Wood, which doesn't exist now, but has grown on to become Pro Wrestling Ignite. I'd check it out if you want to. It's in Boreham Wood. Lovely people running lovely things. And then, yeah, in the final show, we kind of did a reminiscing match with me and Kara. And, yeah, God, it seems like a lifetime ago. February 2020 was the last time I wrestled Kara. Thank you, Ashley, for remembering my career better than I do. I appreciate it. I really do.
Absolutely. And we got Taj Kaur. I think I've pronounced that right. The promoter of Tidal, who's watching. Who's Gene's favourite dog? So do you have any pets or any favorite dogs, Gene? Tell us about your
favorite
breed of dog.
Yeah, my dog's my favorite dog. My dog's called Argus. He's a good boy. He's a former Greek stray. He is the dog that is featured on all of my bits of merchandise. He is the absolute best boy. There he is. He's a little bit of everything. He looks like the most generic stray dog you'll ever see. But he's lovely. He's absolutely fantastic. He's what, 6, 7 now, coming on 8, he's the best boy. He ain't postman, but other than that, he's great. Saying that, while I was at Progress yesterday, he rolled in a dead fish and at the lake, and my missus sent me a voice note, and I really just want to put that voice note on Twitter, because it is just hearing her trying to compose herself while the dog is stinking of dead fish is maybe one of the most wonderful things I've ever heard.
There we go. Well, keep sending us your questions. We've still got a bit of time. I've still got a ton of questions to go through, so I'm going to rattle through them. But some of your 2022 highlights and some of your opponents as well. Scotty Too Hotty, Session Moff as the referee. This took back place.
She was
in March.
Not referee, unfortunately.
Oh, was she not?
She was being too busy and famous on AEW that weekend.
Ah, okay, I stand corrected. But you certainly stepped in the ring with Scotty Too Hotty, and some pictures from that match there, getting the upper hands. And I think this is from the same show, but
no, that's from the second show. So Scotty won the first match when we wrestled, and honestly, like, I didn't know what to expect when I wrestled Scotty. And I told him this last time we saw each other. Like, I didn't know what to expect when I wrestled Scotty. I just thought, oh, he's just going to be some WWE legend and we're just going to do his match and it'll be whatever. So people are like, are you excited to wrestle Scotty Too Hotty? And I was like, I love the concepts of it. But, you know, I don't know. I don't really know how I feel about it. And I got there and Scotty Too Hotty is just the nicest. And I loved every second of it. Scotty is a fantastic wrestler and just up for everything. And we worked really well. And then the next time, like, I get a voice note from Jay at TNT. He's like, Paddy, do you want to wrestle Scotty again? And I was like, yes, more than anything. So obviously I work him again, and he cuts this long promo at the start of our match. We went over time by quite a while, but like he just put me over massively, and I didn't expect him to do that. And it was just the wildest sensation. I was like, oh wow, Scotty Too Hotty's like singing me praises. Like a child of me is just losing his mind right now. 100%. He's the best. And like, yeah, just to get in that atmosphere and do it twice, like, we're one apiece. I'm wanting that rubber match, man. But
Well, let me tell you something, because I interviewed Scotty on the show in September. We were talking about his UK tour, and he specifically mentioned yourself as being one of the highlights of his tour while he was over here those few times. So, and he just loves some of the characters in the UK, the Gene Munnies, the Session Moths, the Crowleys. And he says that, you know, they haven't got characters over on the US Indies. And they say, not only can you guys go, but you guys have the personalities and the characters, and it's specifically, you know, mentioned yourself as being one of the highlights of his tour in 2022. So that's pretty cool.
That's amazing to hear. I mean, like, to get over to the US Indies, like, I'd absolutely love to do that. I want to do it properly. I don't want to speedball myself, unfortunately, and any sort of restrictions. I'd love to get back over there.
Just one more picture, and I know that you got to do the Too Cool dance. I know that Scotty and his son did the worm on you as well. So some cool experiences there. But we did have a question about the US Indies. Let's have a quick look from To Call Up Podcast, a good friend of the show. Anyone in the US you want to wrestle or promotions you'd like to work for? So obviously you've given it some thought, and obviously, you know, you're quite savvy to what's going on out there. But any promotions or individuals the other side of the pond that you might want to tangle with?
Like, I got a tickle of GCW back when they did the TNT show. I got to work Janela for the second time. I'd love to work Joey again. The guy's fucking great. But there's so many US talents I want to work. Like, trying to name them off the top, but it's like, definitely Janela again. People like Tony Depp and people like Orange Cassidy. I have a list of my Trisha Dora. I think she's bloody fantastic. I love to work her. Darius Lockhart. I got to wrestle with Sugar Dunkerton a lot. I don't know what he's up to at the moment, but I'd love to see what he's doing. You know, there are so many bloody names out there. I want to wrestle everybody, frankly. I don't care who they are. I just want to really wrestle, man.
Yeah. What about this guy here? You got to wrestle Matt Cardona, Handshakes and Cheeseburgers, Chapter 141, back at the Electric Ballroom. I unfortunately wasn't able to make this this show, but like I say, I've seen it back several times. The crowd heat, the chanting, the action, just absolutely fantastic. And there you go, at the end, with your own individual belts. We're going to talk about your belts, your championship in a moment. But getting to wrestle Matt Cardona, that must have been another thrill for you.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't... It's kind of the joy of giving yourself your own championship and then finding out there's a guy coming over to the UK who has his own championship. And like, I was a massive rider, Mark, like long in the day. It was, so being able to get in there with Cardona is just, like, it's unreal. Like, it feels like a fever dream looking back at it, but he deserved to win Independent Wrestler of the Year last year. He deserved to be high up on the PWI. That dude is the industry, in my opinion. He is fantastic, and he's just brilliant. I mean, fuck my Cardona, but he's lad knows what he's doing. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, who knows? Royal Rumble this coming Saturday. You never know. He might be stepping through that curtain.
And I will see him milk back. It for every single thing it's worth.
Yeah.
I'll be like, I've had a match with him. Gather round, people.
Yeah, absolutely. But like I say, you've wrestled Cardona, Scotty Too Hotty, Chris Ridgeway in 2022, but none of them have one of these, do they? The G-Money Championship of G-Money. We've had a lot of interest in this as well. I'm going to flash up a few more pictures because it's a beautiful belt. I don't know whether you personally designed it, but look at that, even the detail, the engraving around the outside. And kind of in between G-Money, you've got a little dog bone there.
So yeah.
Unbelievable. And Ashley Clements again, I know you've you already can... Right, so he's talking about the Certificate of Excellence in Good Wrestling there, which you mentioned earlier, but how did you come up with the G-Money Championship of G-Money? So obviously you had a one or two Progress World Championship losses last year.
Yeah.
Was that something that spurred, right, okay, I'm going to have my own championship that nobody can take away from me? But give us the inspiration, the genesis of having your own championship.
You are not far off there at all, Jonas. Like I mentioned it before, I feel like I deserve to be a champion. I feel like I deserve to be main event. Like, I don't care what anyone else says. And the fact is that I can kind of make a joke about it at the same time. Oh, it's wonderful. And it just, I believe I'm a champion. So in my eyes, that is the most prestigious championship in British wrestling today because it's mine. I only know what I see out of my own eyes. And I see that as my gold. So that is my world. That is my world championship.
Yeah, and you said it is a world championship because you defended it in Cardiff, so
And
a
I've
different
defended it in
country
Ireland as well.
and Ireland. Yeah, absolutely. And like I say, LJ Cleary is say a foreign wrestler coming over to these, to Wales. So
Yeah.
it's legitimately a world championship. I don't care what anybody says. So you've defended it a few times. I've got to ask you though, what would happen if you unfortunately lose the championship? What effect? What devastation would that have on G Money if somebody else won it from
It would genuinely break my heart a little bit, if I'm honest. That's my baby. I paid for that. genuinely, it would be heartbreaking if someone wins that from me. Will it happen? I don't know. I think it's going to happen in wrestling. Is it going to happen anytime soon? No, because I don't think I've got any defenses coming up. Why would I defend something that's mine? I like these headphones, all right? These are my headphones. There is at no point in my life anyone is going to ask me to defend these headphones. So why are they making me do it with my championship? It's silly.
But it is the most prestigious championship in British wrestling, Gene. You've said that yourself.
So I've heard. Yeah. So I've heard. It's gorgeous. It's Pakistan's best brass. That absolutely. The best brass makers in Pakistan made that for me. Oh, it's gorgeous. It's absolutely nice. It's got Gene Money written on it 69 times. Like it's funny in itself. That's an Easter egg. No one else would know that. That's for me.
Yeah. Now, I never like to embarrass my guests on these
Oh, here we
podcasts,
go.
but well, here we go. Here we go. I'm going to bring up one or two pictures. Look at this handsome young chap there,
Oh, Johnny
Johnny
Lovella Squire.
Lavelle.
Yes,
What
boy.
an absolutely gorgeous fella there. Look at that. He's got all the moves. He's got the sunglasses. He's got
Well,
the
there is. He's got
polo
his
stick
polo
there.
mallet.
Is this, if I'm not mistaken, the Lavelle brothers?
It was the Lavelle brothers. Absolutely, it was me and Christopher Lavelle, who
With
was then
CJ
CJ
there,
Carter.
of course. Tell us a bit about that. I'm guessing that was at the very kind of inception, the very birth of your wrestling career,
Yes, it
all them
was.
years back. Who was Johnny Lavelle?
Johnny Lavelle Esquire was kind of a. He was kind of a. I had a quite a. An ex-girlfriend years back who was like a bit wealthy, and I really wanted to do a parody of her, to be honest. It was this kind of opulence, this kind of feeling that they're better than people due to stature. And I really liked kind of how easy that was to play off. And it was easy. And so Johnny Lavelle was this, Chelsea boy and things like that. CJ Holly came into the fold because he'd been wrestling years before and got injured and then came back into wrestling. And he was like, hey, I was like, well, I've got this show and I need a tag partner. Do you want to team with me? You could be like my cousin or something. And then CJ was Christopher Lavelle. We got like matching gear together. We had some good matches under our belts. We had some, like, we'd been a six man with Ultimo Dragon. We got to wrestle Project Ego. We had a lot of fun. But then, CJ kind of lost his vibe for wrestling. So it was just me back on my own. And there was like, you had Richard Parliament, you had Tom Chamberlain, you had Jonathan Windsor. There was a lot of posh boy wrestlers on the scene already. And it was like, without my tag partner, I kind of lost that magic a bit. So I thought Johnny Lavelle's gonna die.
There we go. Absolutely. And he did indeed. Speaking of
Can I just
dying,
say
go on, go on.
how much I just looking at those photos, my hairline has improved tenfold since then. My days. Oh,
There
look at that.
we go.
Fantastic. Oh, look how far it goes back, Jonas. My days. Terrible.
But you mentioned kind of a character dying there, but
Yeah.
what about this guy here? The Mundertaker.
The Mundertaker for Disco.
You mentioned Sugar Dunkerton earlier, and you had a number of matches with him, including a steel cage match and one or two others. Look at that. That, if you put Mark Calloway and that picture side by side, you would not be able to tell the difference. But that's an interesting version of Gene Money. I only discovered that during my research, but give us the idea behind the Mundertaker.
Oh, so Discovery Wrestling is a lovely place, a wonderful place up in Edinburgh. And they were having a Halloween show and they were like, we've got an idea for a match. It's a zombie lumberjack match. So the promoter was friends with the guy who runs like the zombie experiences in Edinburgh. So it was like these proper actors in full, like disfigured, horrible zombie faces and everything like that. And a guy holding them back with a giant rifle. And it was the winner of the match is the one who survives. Shenanigans galore. Like, we did the zombie lumberjack match before WWE did the zombie lumberjack match with Miz and whoever it was. And it was great. Like, I watch it back and it's a shame I look so much just like a capital B. I was probably my most rotund. And so I died in the end. I got eaten and then Shug did the Thriller dance and I came back to eat him and we went away together. So then Session Moth did an open challenge at their show in January, and it was answered by the Dead Dog himself, the Mundertaker. And it was great. It was so fun to do because it was just, here's a legend. Here's someone everyone knows in wrestling. Everyone knows the beats too. Let's desecrate this. It was good. Just, wrenching the arm, doing the old school, but just full on singing, you done it now, you got it, man. Just walking around all the ring. Like, really? I got to really dick them out. So I had, three wins under that. And then wrestled Sugar Dunkerton again, took his soul. And then we had the big blow-off match in the old cool blue cage you saw in that previous photo. Me and Sugar in the cage. I love a big blue cage, but it doesn't make any noise. So I love like a mesh cage when you hit it. You hear the rattle, you hear that.
Yeah.
No matter how hard you hit that metal, the noise is just... So brilliant. It sucks. But it was good. It was fun. And then Shug got his soul back, and then he gave me my soul back, and then I returned his Gene Money. What a year.
It all works out in the end. It all works out in the end. But Discovery doing some great things.
They are. February, I can't remember the date off the top of my head. I think it's February 2nd, February 3rd. Edinburgh, Corn Exchange. It's me versus Joe Hendry for the Discovery Wrestling Championship. And that means a lot to me because I started back at Discovery yonks ago with my old tag team partner, Uncle Bobby. We were the Buffet Club. We were a Bullet Club parody kind of thing, and just fat lads, really. And which was great because we got to wrestle the Young Bucks when they were part of the Bullet Club. And so we lost, we disbanded. I've kind of gone through every role at Discovery Wrestling. I was the tag team. I was the comedy kind of guy. I was the Dead Dog. I was the Undertaker. I came back and I was that plucky fighter. I had a tag team with Session Moth. This is my first opportunity at the Strat, and to represent a company that's done so much in my career, like Discovery have, well, that'd be wonderful to represent. Will it happen? I don't know, but fingers crossed.
We'll all be keeping our fingers crossed. And Ashley, it's been a busy boy. You sent us in another question. Thank you, Ashley Clements. Whose idea was it to come up with a Moneyverse in Wrestling Resurgence? So I've got a few interesting pictures to bring up, but give us a bit of an inside baseball into the Moneyverse in Wrestling Resurgence. Sounds
so Sam messaged me saying, look, we're coming back with Resurgence post-pandemic, let's do this. We're kicking off with like a film theme show. So there was a Pirates of the Caribbean match with like the Lycos Boys and BDSM. There was a Reservoir Dogs with a whole heap of talents in. There was kind of like a Jekyll and Hyde with Spike and Kara. And the original concept they'd come for was being Gene Munkovich, and it was going to be a being, John Malkovich kind of parody, where it was me wrestling like a gauntlet of different versions of me. But then because the Reservoir Dogs match kind of turned into a gauntlet, they changed it around and they were like, how, any ideas? And I was like, let's, instead of doing like the being John Malkovich, like, how about we do like an Into the Spider-Verse kind of thing of there's different versions of me. And I came up running through the curtain in like with a lab coat and goggles on going, oh no, it's all gone wrong. And I run out the other door. And then obviously I come out for the match as a different version of me. And then the next version, the joy of this is I was asked who I wanted to wrestle. And so I gave a few names, but all of the names I gave were bald, because when I pitched this idea, I was bald. So we had Jern Simmons and we had Visage. And then Dereese had a booking cancelled. And so Dereese was the man. And so there was four versions of me in there. And I actually believe this was Martin, one of the progress owners, the first meetings of me and watching that. No. And it was just a whole heap of fun. It was just, you know, there's a lot of different versions of me out there. And it was fun. And then they were like, let's continue this. And I did not stop them.
Absolutely. Now, I remember I got into wrestling probably in the late 80s and kind of certainly it peaked kind of early 90s. And I remember watching WCW about 92, 93. My favorite tag team during that era, and probably my favorite tag team, certainly my top five of all time, was the Hollywood Blondes. Do you remember them, Gene? Do you remember them? Stunning Steve Austin, Flying Brian Pillman. Look at these dudes here. The Moneywood. Is that right? The Moneywood
Blondes, baby.
You got a good friend of the show, Elijah, there, yourself.
That's not Elijah, that's just me.
Oh, of course, of course.
That's just two versions of me. I have no idea what you're talking about.
I don't know if you're doing a bit of Lana Rocky in that picture or what, but that looks pretty good. And of course, you mentioned 25th of March, the Y Theatre, Leicester. So the Inter-Universal Disputed Wrestling Resurgence Team Championship Open Challenge. That's a mouthful there, Gene. That is a
sure
mouthful.
Is. I'm glad you said it.
But let's bring that date up once more. March the 25th, and you'll be defending the championships at that show.
Yeah,
G-Money and defense. G-Money will be defending the titles. Tell us about it.
So I was having a match at the Resurgence, sorry, as me. And it was for the Outhouse Championship. And then another version of me, a more successful version of me, came from the future to tell me that if I win this belt, all my wildest dreams will come true. And so they convinced me to use the belt to attack someone. And I put it down. I said no. And I lost the match. So me and this other version of me, or two different versions of me, I can't remember how the story goes. But from some you can't tell by the accent, but from some part of America are the Moneywood Blondes. we were more of a homage to 80s wrestling, to territories wrestling, than directly to the Hollywood Blondes. But we have long, luscious locks, and we're both Gene Money. And I feel bad for the version of me who isn't me, because he's so good, and he's now just a version of me. I love it, man. It's the most fun. Like, we had a full blindfold match against Lycos Jim at the last show. And, you know, we, BDSM, lost the belt in a heartbreaking manner because Clementine quit the biz. And so we just stole the belts, and that's why we're the disputed champions.
Gotcha. You feel me too.
That's good, we are.
Right, I've got some quick fire things for you here. So first of all, winning the Wrestle Carnival, I can't remember what the name of the match was, but you briefcase
Big top
winner.
Contract.
You got it, my friend. You got it. That was a lot of fun. I got to speak to you after the match. Like I say, a really fun match. But your experience of Wrestle Carnival in a nutshell, Gene?
It's been good. I really enjoyed my time at Carnival, apart from the last show where I was going to cash in on Dereese. When he'd won his belt, but he just fobs me off. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to save this. I'm going to make this count. Don't know when I'm going to cash in, but, you know, it's going to be good when I do, I bet you. Because, you know, I want to win gold this year. I've got that championship. I've got the good grand prize. I've got the G-Money championship of G-Money. I'd like some extra gold. I've got a lot of trousers that I need to hold up, and I need more belts, you know? Wrestle Carnival's been fun. I got to wrestle Spike and Big Guns in my first match, and then it was supposed to be just me and Crowley. And again, that match hasn't happened anywhere before, just me and Crowley. And then it got turned into a triple threat, and it got turned into a fatal four-way match for the strap. And I lost, and I don't like losing. I don't like losing. I'm at 50% win rate at Wrestle Carnival. Let's hope that this year.
It's got to happen. And what about this fella here? Detective, is that Detective Money from Modern Nomad?
Detective Money from Modern Nomad, absolutely.
There we go. And there we are doing your entrance. Obviously, we've got a big show coming up soon at the Bridgehead. Yeah. There you are for the Shitwolf Championship match.
Yeah, more gold, Mad Kurt and gold, Elijah.
A lot of interest about Detective Money before this live interview with yourself. Tell us a bit about the character and a bit about your journey as him in Modern Nomad, which is another amazing promotion that's done fantastic things in the last 12 months.
So Detective Gene Money is a detective from the gritty 1930s New York, solving cases, but he exists in gritty crime drama, so he only talks through narration. So I never say a word when I'm in the ring. My narration says it for me. And that's terrifying as a performer, because like I said before, I like to bounce things off with the crowd. They say something, I say something. We make magic together. Waha. But when I first did the gimmick at Attack, I'd recorded like 3-minute narrative. And I had to go out into a crowd, stand with a microphone, and not talk for 3 minutes and just go, if they don't find this funny, this is going to be the worst 3 minutes I've had. But no, it went down well, and we brought it back. And the detective's good. The detective's great. It's so much fun to do because, like, it's daft. Really daft.
Yeah. And 2022, now correct me if I'm wrong, but I think you made your OTT debut in 2022 as well, Gene.
I did.
That's pretty cool. And like I say, branching out over to Ireland for, like I say, OTT, world famous, and the shows that they put on. And like I say, you made your debut for them in 2022. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. OTT treated me really nicely out there. It was a really good place to work, to be honest. Me and Sammy D for the strap. I came there and I was like, I didn't know what I was doing. Like, I knew I was wrestling Sammy, and it was the case of, I don't know, I'm the funny boy, Jonas. Like, I'm expecting, oh, maybe second match. No, main event for the championship. Wonderful. So I got thrown in the deep end, and fingers crossed to be back over in Ireland this year. I mean, I am back over in Ireland this year for RCW next weekend. It was great. OTT is fantastic. I'd love to be back this year.
Indeed. And going to bring up two of the pictures of opponents you've had in progress in 2022. Maggot, first of all, and Irie, Shingiro Irie. Two different types of opponents, two different types of matches. Like I say, Maggot, very much a character, but certainly can bring it in the ring. Irie, you know you're going to get a hard-hitting match with him. Any memories of those two opponents, those two matches in particular?
Well, yeah, so Maggot was like when I debuted the belt, and that was in Sheffield, which is like my closest city. I saw my first ever wrestling gig in Sheffield. I used to go see all like Sheffield's my back garden, really. It's like, so it was really nice to debut the belt there, and I got to have so much fun with Mike. Like, that's great. He is, and we created a lovely bit, a lovely little homage to Eddie Guerrero with the belt spot.
Love that so much.
Yeah, blew up online. I was dead surprised. I'd like 300,000 views on TikTok, blew me mind. Shiggy in Birmingham was just brilliant. The guy is fantastic. He looks like a teddy bear and hits you like a
wrecking ball.
I was just trying to think of something else, but yeah, like a yeah, it's this dude's insane. Like, he's great. Hits hard. He's big, and so when he lands down on you, not a Tom Dawkins moment, but definitely you lose your breath. It was great to work with someone and do that kind of style, because it's not something I do very often, but it's nice to go in there and go, oh, I can do this shit, yeah. He's great. He's fantastic. Bowed at each other at the end of the show. Oh, wonderful. And he's great. He's fantastic. I'm just putting everyone over. Let's put some dirt on people. Let's get some heat.
Oh, we can talk about Spike again if you want to.
Yeah, fuck Spike.
But like I say, I think in a nutshell, it sums up you had a tremendous 2022 against a wide variety of opponents, different styles, and some great companies out there. But just in a nutshell, is it about 10 or 11 years you've been in the business now, Gene?
So, like, yeah, I've been in the business longer than I like to admit, to be honest. But I only really got my arse in gear. And, like, it was always just a hobby to me. Like, I had a career outside of wrestling. I was doing, everything else under the sun. And it wasn't until January 2019, when I thought, hey, let's actually focus on this. Let's actually treat this like you want to do it.
It's recent.
All of a sudden, like, I lose 11 kilos. I'm training hard. I'm getting booked. Who would have thought, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to get into wrestling, who would have thought hard work, diet and exercise and training, wow, really works? And I'm gutted that I only came to that fucking really basic conclusion so late in my career, but I'm having a great time now. I don't care. Like, everything happens for a reason, if you believe that kind of thing. And maybe if I'd have done that years back, something would have happened, but we're doing it now and we're loving it now.
Absolutely. Now, final question for me, and I like to ask this question to all of my guests, but what would you say maybe the top one or two proudest moments from your career so far? Obviously, you've achieved a lot, you've wrestled a lot of people and in a lot of places, but are there any particular proud moments that kind of will live with you forever or certainly stand out in your memory today?
Oh, man, I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah. I should have prepped you beforehand. There must be quite a few.
There's some that are memorable. Like, I really enjoyed the semi-finals of Strong Style this year, to be honest. Yeah. That was nice. And proud moments like when Scotty was putting me over in his promo before the match. Oh, great. But there were some weird ones as well, some weird ones that really tickle me, like, I got brought backstage after a progress show, and one of the WWE UK producers pitched like how they want to use me on the show, and they were like, right, we want you to be Tony Storm's 80s manager, because we know you can talk. We don't need to see how many, PC exercises you can do. And it, obviously nothing ever happened, but it was just nice to go, hey, that's pretty cool that they want me for that. Never happened. And God, Tony Storm's career, probably better for it. Let's fucking face it. It was a nice moment to win the good championship as well, just because it's something I'd never done. And, everyone knows what wrestling is and thinks they know what wrestling is. I've said it before. And so I think I'm just proud of myself that I'm doing it. Really, because not many people get to live their dreams. I feel really happy that I am. And obviously, I say living my dreams. It's not like I'm a WWE superstar making all the big bucks. But I'm just happy that I get to do what I really love. So I feel kind of proud a little bit every day from it.
Yeah, absolutely. Rightly so. But before we wrap up this episode of Wrestling with Jonathan, before we ask you for your socials, once again, I'm going to bring up this picture. Cara Noir, Tom Dawkins will be my guest next Monday, Monday the 30th of January, 8 p.m. sharp UK time, 3 p.m. over in the States on the eastern side. But we're talking to Tom about his fantastic career, about the birth of the Cara Noir character and the journey that character's been on. And like I say, being one of the most prestigious champions of progress, of course, of modern time. But like I say, can't wait to see Tom in the flesh and to get to ask him all the wonderful questions. But will you be sending your questions in to Tom and kind of asking why he didn't help you last night 15 minutes earlier, maybe?
Yeah, it would have been nice. that chair would have been a little bit safe.
Absolutely.
Tom's someone I got nothing but respect for. He's just, you know, he's phenomenal at what he does. It's genuinely sickening how good he is. I got fortunate enough that I trained a lot with Tom over the pandemic. We got to train a lot together. I learned a lot. Dude's ridiculous. And he's someone who, when I saw that Cara Noir gimmick, when he was doing Pavo Real, Lucha Britannia, I was working for a promotion at the time, and I was like, you need to get this guy in immediately. Like, because I don't know if anyone, because he, you know, he was just black belt Tom Dawkins before. He was, you know, he'll tell you for himself it was boring, but it was see him just doing this thing that obviously he loves. Is I'm just dead happy for him.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So for any of my fans, listeners, followers that are watching you right now or listening to you on the audio platform, where can they reach out to you? Say hi, learn more about the damn dirty dog, G-Money, maybe buy some merch, watch any of your matches. But the floor is yours. Tell us where we can reach out to you. And it's all scrolling along the bottom of the screen.
Oh, there it is. Instagram. Yeah, Instagram, I'm at Gene_Money. Here's the thing. Like, I should have homogenized all of it. I've got three different things for three different things. Gene_Money for Instagram. We got I'm So Money for Twitter, which I wanted to change because that was kind of a catchphrase I had years ago that never really took off, but I made it my Twitter handle. And it was like, well, I should probably change to Gene Money. This, the one day I did, I had three people atting I'm So Money. And I was like, and then at Gene Money, I guess, on Facebook. I don't know. If you like my Instagram, you'll like my Facebook because it's the exact same thing, just posted on there, except me mum can see it now. you can follow me on there, you know, whatever, you have a chat. I'm on TikTok, but I don't really post that much. I need to do more funny stuff. What else?
You can buy my merch
if you want to buy. Oh, there it is. Wow, look at that. The big belts aren't on sale anymore. We sold them. We get mini replica belts available for your own action figures. We got tees with a tiny little Ainsley on it. We got hats. We got that. And that's available at damndirtydog.co.uk. Buy all of it, buy some of it, buy none of it. There's me wearing a t-shirt there. That was by Stomp Photography at North Wrestling. Let me put over North Wrestling. They're fucking incredible.
There we go. But G-Money, I know you got a busted tongue. You're a bit battered and bruised from yesterday, So I'm going to let you get on with your evening. But I want to thank you so much for your time. And if you've got a final message for your fans or your followers out there that are watching this interview right now, as we head into 2023, it's going to be a long but hopefully successful year for you. If you've got a final message for your fans out there, what would you like to say?
Please come to Gene Money's Dapplan Emporium on March the 7th at Tufnell Park, the Dome. It's going to be a show like no other show. It's wild. I can't tell anyone about it, really, what's happening. We're going to be announcing some talents maybe tomorrow, which will be nice. We'll announce who are and who are not Daff Lads. That'll be good. The show isn't going to be just about the matches. The matches are all going to be, you know, cataclysmic bangers. But the show isn't about the wrestling matches.
It's a show about a wrestling show.
It's a show about a wrestling show. I can say that much, but I can't tell anyone anything else. Honestly, buy a ticket. You will either give up all hope in wrestling, or you will say, wow, that was unexpected. I want Meltzer to give me all of the stars. It's going to be genuinely, I want to tell people what this is, but I feel if they know, then it kind of ruins the surprise on the night because it's not what anyone's expecting.
Absolutely. But progresswrestling.com/tickets. Get your ticket or tickets now. Do not delay. Be there. It's going to be a one-off, one-of-a-kind, once-in-a-lifetime show that you have to be there to see it with your own eyes and to believe it with your own mind. But G-Money, that damn dirty dog, I want to thank you so, so much for being a wonderful guest. And like I say, catch you at the shows, my friends. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Jonas. I will see you soon, I'm sure, probably. Goodbye, everybody. I hope you've had a time.